Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I am happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Let's continue with my teaching titled, The Fruit of the Born Again Spirit. This teaching is an in-depth study of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The Holy Spirit gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and hear about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listener, you may be in a hurting situation and feeling isolated. But unfortunately, you are not alone. There are hurting people all over the world, in our communities and families, because of living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each Christian to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior if we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a godly example of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. If you are not with us from the beginning of this teaching or would like to re-listen to the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will be quoting from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We were examining the sins of the sinful nature as listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, when I ran out of time. Let's complete our examination of the sin of hostility. I will reread my definition from the New Webster's Dictionary and remind you where we should look to for our answers to life. Hostility. Hostility means opposed in feeling, action, tendency, or character, of or pertaining to an enemy, unfriendly. As Christians, our life's guidebook is the Holy Bible. Therefore, to define what is right or wrong on any topic, the act must be in accordance with God's word, not what society says is right or wrong. Because we know that Satan is running this corrupt world system, and he has deceived the world to be his tools for destruction, for man's demise. So we must not follow the leading of this corrupt world system. Let's continue reading what God has to say about the sin of hostility. I will be reading from the New King James Bible translation. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 24, 1 and 2 say, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking." Let's continue with the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. That's Isaiah 59, starting with verse number 1. The topic is separated from God through our iniquities. And iniquities means evil doing or wickedness. So people are separated from God through their evil doing or wickedness. Verse number 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled." Now, this word defiled means violate, to hurt. Again, verse number 3, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity." Verse number 4, "No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out." Verse number 6, "Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace." Now, family, before I go to our next biblical passage, this book, Isaiah, was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. It's been almost 2,000 years since Christ came onto this earth to save us. This particular passage rings so true today, unfortunately. We have seen all kinds of evildoers causing destruction, causing death, causing hurt and pain. So we have the answer in Jesus, and that is to stop being hostile and seek the word of God so that we can live according to his word in peace. A word to the wise, there is only death and destruction in Satan and his evil assignments. So don't get caught up in his assignments. Know for yourself that we have the greater one in us, and we can say no to every sinful act when we choose to. All right, let's conclude this particular sinful act by reading from the book of Jude. And we're going to read verses 16 through 25. Jude 16:25 says, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." Verse 17, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." Now, I do want to point out one word in the verse 19, sensual. Now, sensual means soulish or worldly, living according to their fleshly desires and not God's word. We don't want to be those people, because it only ends in death. All right, let's go to verse 20 and read through verse 25. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on the same, have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Verse 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Last verse, verse 25, "To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Family, that's good news for God's people. Let's continue with the next sin that's found in verses 16 through 21, and that's quarreling. Quarreling means an angry dispute, a wrangle, an altercation, a breach of friendship, the basis or ground of variance, complaint, or objection, to dispute violently, to squabble, to fall out, to find fault. My husband and I have very strong personalities, and we got married as mature adults. John was 36 and I was 30 years of age. Both of us were working in successful jobs and we had some authority within our positions at work. So when we got married, we were constantly quarreling about every little issue that came up at home. Both of us felt that we were right, and neither one of us wanted to concede. We were a hot mess headed to divorce court. Thank God that about 1 year after getting married, we started watching ever-increasing faith ministries on TV and eventually became members of Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles, California. If it were not for the awesome example of Dr. Betty Price and her marriage to Dr. Price, John and I would have parted ways for sure. It was a tremendous help to participate in the women's Bible studies, the women retreats, and the yearly Wisdom from Above luncheons at Crenshaw Christian Center. It was through hearing God's word regarding the responsibility of the woman and wife that I was shamed and encouraged to change my attitude at home and with my husband. Now, 37 years later, we are still together and doing the work of the Lord. We all need godly examples on this earth realm to give us living illustrations of how God's word works and how to apply the word effectively. This is why it is important for Christians to be a member of a church home where they are teaching the word of God, and the leadership, especially the pastors, are living out the word in faith. So family, I'm going to give you three scriptures that give us this biblical truth, and I would like you to write them down. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. Know for a fact that being a part of a church home where they're teaching the word will change your life if you want to. And I want it to. And praise God, it has been good ever since. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want us to read some scriptures regarding quarreling and how it affects our lives from the book of Proverbs. These verses I'm going to be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Please turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to start with chapter 13, one verse, verse number 10. It says, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Now, this word strife means angry or bitter disagreement. Don't get into strife, especially with your loved ones, your husband, your wife, your children, your extended family, co-workers, neighbors. Just don't get involved in strife. It can only lead to anger and bitter disagreement that can tear down families, jobs, neighborhoods. All right, let's continue with Proverbs chapter 15. I want to read one verse, verse number 18. It says, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." I know that for a fact. Again, because when John and I first got married, we were constantly at each other. But because of the godly example that I saw in Dr. Betty at my church home in California, I learned to close my mouth and let John argue by himself. Don't get involved in arguments. Be the peacemaker. All right, let's go to Proverbs 20. One verse, verse number 3. It says, "It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." Quick to quarrel. Don't be that person. Let's continue with Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19. It says, "Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife." Oh, family, this is so true. Whether it be the wife or the husband, anyone who wants to quarrel and nag at their spouse is only causing strife and division among the marriage. All right, let's go on to Proverbs chapter 29, one verse, verse 22. It says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. That's for sure. Because when you're hot-tempered, you're quick to start quarreling, causing strife and disputes among anyone and everyone. Don't be that person. All right, let's continue with Ecclesiastes chapter 7, one verse, verse number 9. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Don't be a fool. Angry people are foolish. Don't be that person. All right, let's go to the New Testament and read from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Amen. So we're going to have to hold on to that word of life, which is the word of God. Last verse. Please turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to read verse 17 through 10. Colossians 3, verses 7 through 10 say, you used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Family, I'm going to read those again. We're going to have to get rid of the following: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Verse number 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, our living God. See, because when we were in the world, when we were sinners, we did do these things, but we don't have to do them anymore, family. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus. He has washed us from all our sins, and we can choose not to sin, not to live like the old sinful man with that sinful nature. We can choose to be renewed in the knowledge, in the image of our Creator, our living God. Amen and amen. All right, let's continue with the next sin, which is jealousy. Jealousy means mental uneasiness due to suspicion or fear of rivalry. Envious resentment against a successful rival or the possessor of any coveted advantage. Jealousy is not of God. I'm going to say that again. Jealousy is not of God, and there is no reason to be jealous of anyone, because we were all created unique and special by our Heavenly Father. I want you to hear that again, family, because sometimes we don't really appreciate who we are in Christ. But there is no reason to be jealous of anyone, because we were all created unique and special by our Heavenly Father. God does not create duplicates, nor does He need two individuals with the exact same gifts and talents. We are all created with a godly plan and purpose that only we were created to complete. So jealousy is not only evil, but totally unnecessary. We need each Christian to do their job in the body of Christ to be successful in getting the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. I want us to read a passage that tells us that each member of the body of Christ is important. Please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse number 12 through 27. Verse number 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 14, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16, "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would we be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" Verse 20. "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Oh, I'm so sorry, family. I am out of time. We will have to resume next Wednesday as we continue our study on the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.